And they're serving bagels, beans, and tea. And Judy Appel, Judy's trying to organize this for the Coalition of Homelessness. New signs, let us sleep in our park. There's
a blow up, more food donation.
Blow up of a camping ticket. I'll put these...
Put the bagels over here.
You guys, we need to use the table for the rest of the food.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
Oh, great. Okay.
Food reinforcements have arrived. And we have photographers aplenty. An American flag is draped over the sign for the war memorial, appropriately enough. We have some cool drinks that are out here. Would you like some beans, sir?
Yeah. He was out rounding up shopping carts and dumping the homeless people's belongings, and he got so overheated he had to go home and shower with those little punk pieces. So we just took care of that without him.
Here's some over the nut.
Yeah, this is a song with that people and Bob Dylan.
What I'll do is...
Cruz wants to salute Sarah Menefee, one of the earlier food criminals.
Okay, hi. Yeah, I'm a food criminal.
You went through a whole trial, not trial, but you went through court hearing after court hearing.
Yeah, you know, once people figured out that if you just said, no, I don't want to make deals, I want my jury trial, that's the last thing they wanted. But I don't know, how'd that work out for you?
Same 2 months deal. In jail.
Yeah. 2 months? Oh, Jesus. You radicalized that jail a little.
I haven't gone there yet.
Really?
A week from tomorrow, I go for a sentence modification hearing, looking to have it dropped. But if I don't get that, I go to jail directly. So
is there going to be some kind of outcry or protest if that happens?
There will. On Thursday at 3 p.m. or 2 p.m. in front of 850 Bryant. There's a flyer right there. Join Robert. Where's Jack?
Jack's got the flu right now.
Jack Hirschman, famous poet. He has the flu. Kitty, great poet, does some good stuff at these rallies. And here's the Theatrics Project, how can I be breaking the law when I'm asleep? Well, Mayor Jordan and now Mayor Brown have found a way. I'm talking with
Chris Daly.
And Chris, you're munching fruit salad here, but a week ago you were at SHAC, Stanford Housing Action Coalition.
The Stanford Homeless Action Coalition.
Uh-huh. And you were talking about, what the hell are you talking about? You're talking about, you have the thesis you've been writing on the issue.
No, I wasn't writing, my buddy's writing the thesis. I'm not a student.
All right, you're a professor at
New College,
yeah.
Yeah.
And what are you doing here? Are you just one of the paid agitator from out of town? The Coalition on Homelessness is somehow secured for this disgusting display of attacks on our friend Willie Brown?
Unfortunately, Robert, I'm not paid at all.
I see. You're not getting paid enough. Panhandling. Where's the police officer?
But, you know, I'm out here just because, coming in to political office, Willie Brown was pretty adamant about, ending the Matrix program as not only inhumane, but bad public policy for San Francisco. And, obviously.
And he'd done it. In spite of a February 22nd announcement, there would be no further arrests under the sleeping and most other provisions of the Matrix.
I just think he hasn't done much of anything.
Right.
You know, Robert, beyond getting his baseball park.
Here's a man who says he's been arrested recently. When were you arrested?
Sure. A couple weeks ago.
And what's your name?
Wesley McKinney.
And where were you arrested?
At the ballpark over there sleeping.
And were you drunk in a pile of shit, beating up all kinds of people?
No, I was not.
Were you blocking the sidewalk?
No, I was not.
Were you raping somebody?
No, I was not.
Were you...
Why?
You were sleeping?
Worse
than all those things, don't you know?
By God, it was.
And how long have you been a resident of the city?
4 years.
And have things changed under Brown?
They haven't. They've gotten worse.
And why do you say that? Can you get me more specific?
Because now I have to hide to go to bed. Literally, I have to hide to go to bed. So I know I ain't going to get disturbed and I have a good night's rest before I go to work in this morning. And I literally have to hide. Get some camouflage blankets to...
Talk to you more later, big guy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Robert Norris.
A disquieting bit of news here as the cameras cluster around Judy Appel. She said she does not want us to present our letter when they present petitions. I guess we can present whatever the hell we want to present.
Of course, but why? What is this letter?
This is a letter from David Bovee to Willie Brown asking him to support no jail for soup in my case.
So why would she have an objection?
She didn't say.
Maybe she just wants to focus on a homeless issue, but this is a homeless issue.
Uh, looks like these are all reporters. I guess.
She said that if Brown does not go to your hearing, that the mayor's office will send a representative.
Perhaps the janitor?
She didn't specify who it was.
Yes, see, that's a good thing to begin with. We want the mayor. We need the man at the top. We need the guy who can cook the best food in town, wears the best suits. We want Willie Brown.
So we, we're here from representatives from all over the city and Golden Gate Park, the Coalition of Homelessness, and other parts of the city to let Mayor Down and Chief Lyle and the citizens of San Francisco, the residents of San Francisco, know that the police enforcement practices that existed under Matrix have continued and continue full force all over the city. So we're not going to do too much talking, but we're going to leave the microphone open here to different people to talk about their experiences at the other end of the police baton all over San Francisco. So we're going to start with Bobby Joyce.
Yay!
Hey, Bobby! All right, he's our man.
Hello, Liz. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Bobby Joyce. I'm the lead plaintiff in the Matrix lawsuit for City and County of San Francisco. I myself received a ticket in 1993 for sleeping in the park. We're here to tell Willie Brown that the police enforcement of homeless people in San Francisco has not stopped. Because he took office on January 8th of 1996, and he said that Matrix is over. Matrix is only over in name and name only. The police enforcement has continued. The harassment of homeless people has continued. The confiscation of people's property, homeless people's property, has continued. And it will not stop until we, you, and everybody else tells Willie Brown that we are not going to go for this. Matrix is not over, and he needs to do something about it, and we need to do something about it right now. We're tired of this. You know, they're violating people's civil rights on a daily basis by telling people to move on. I don't want to see you here. If you hear when I come back, you're going to get a ticket. That's bullshit. You know, the homeless people in San Francisco have a right to the city and the streets, just like everybody else that has a right to the city. And we are here to voice our opinion that we...
We're going into the new City Hall, which is well-guarded, or at least four police officers out here. The door. Hi, how's it going, gentlemen?
I'm good.
How's it going?
Going to Mayor Brown's office.
Defense budget.
You have a representative from his office talking out there right now.
Well, I want to see the secretary as receptionist.
I don't understand how you can close off City
Hall. How can you close off the mayor's office?
Well, you close off the whole City Hall. We can't pass in.
The mayor is in the meeting, so he's not receiving.
Okay, well, we want to go into the
house. Secretary Speaker, that's our intention. There's a representative out there.
I know.
We're
talking
to you right now.
I know. He's not talking to us. We're actually a separate group.
We're a separate group. What group are you with?
I'm with Food Not Bombs and David Bebe.
This is a group. This is a coalition on homelessness just throwing this demo over. What's your name?
So how many of you want to go up?
Just the four of us. We intentionally made it a small group.
What's the name of your group?
Food Not Bombs.
Food Not Bombs.
Yeah, I'm a member of Food Not Bombs. I'm seeing the mayor on a personal matter.
Justice for
it's the right to serve free food.
Yeah, it relates to acquiring.
He's in meetings and he is not free.
We want to go into his office and drop that off. We want to hand deliver that. This is our city hall. We should have access at least to his office.
You can go up there and you can drop that off.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. How you doing?
Good.
Donna? Howdy. So this is America for us.
We're trying to get through the military high command.
So how do where's the mayor's office?
Walk the plank. It's probably in code here.
And the chief guy didn't give us his name, did you notice? Completely anonymous.
I thought his uniform was interesting too.
Yeah.
Three-piece uniform.
Protection. Right, so, what's your name?
Joan Robbins. You're security for the mayor, or?
I'm security for the whole complex.
I got you.
We're not gonna bust anything.
There's two separate entities here. You know, you have the third and fourth floor, which is City Hall. Of course, second floor, actually, we can close down to the public anytime we want to. They're not a thoroughfare unless you have business in here.
Right.
And, you know, and then for, you know, the mayor is busy. We use your monitor who goes up, especially with this conflict with
other things that's going on.
Because I know there's a lot of people who want to come up, that's why he's sitting there, he's in there at the top. He's tied up, that's why he sent the rep down.
I can just mumble.
You're mumbling. You shouldn't mumble in an elevator. I'm the third floor, and heading for the mayor's office, thank you. Thank you, John.
Keys?
So we got teddy bears, keys. We passed security checkpoint Q. We're moving on to pass the statue of George Moscone. Security didn't do much good for him.
Just one.
Well,
just one, okay? If they want to let the rest of you in, they'll come and let us know. They told us just one.
You don't say much when a man with a gun tells you you can't enter a door, right?
Yeah, even if it is.
Sergeant?
Yep.
So we've been refused entrance to the mayor's office. Attorney David Beauvais has gone inside, and here we are in the hallway. What happened?
Well, it was done.
So we have four police officers here, actually. Probably, is an officer an appropriate way to describe it? Or?
It feels safe.
That's fine.
Yeah. Guarding the gates, so to speak. And they've successfully ejected us.
Let's see. Recently I saw Animal Farm. And, you know, it was funny because...
So I think we're leaving now. Good luck. All the birds? Okay, with me.
They had the dogs, you know, that were sort of like salivating outside the front door.
That isn't very exciting, but
I'm sure you'll be hearing from the mayor as soon as he gets a chance to.
Sometime this afternoon.
Yeah, I want to rush back to the office.
We'll do something about this injustice.
Open Brown administration, I've heard so much about. We're going to meet everybody once a week, Willie, in June.
Yeah.
It's the long day.
If you can get through all the centurions, it's possible.
Frankly, I'm a little bit...
Do you think they have to stand out there every day?
No.
I think they
came on the wrong day.
It's a mark of respect for the Coalition on Homelessness. Watching the entrance here, and there looks like to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 police officers inside. Thank you, John. And only one guy outside. Now, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
All right. So, we're back in the sunshine again. Keith McHenry said that there are several hundred police officers around the back of the building, which you would think would be an exaggeration. And I haven't checked that information out, but... There were 30 police officers in a line in front of the court when I last came to court, and there were 9 demonstrators. You should try and walk into City Hall. It's quite an eye-opener. There are 8 police officers ringing the door. They would not let us in initially. We had to stand there for 10 minutes. Finally, we kept saying, we're allowed to go into City Hall. It's a public building. Finally, they let us in. First, they wanted only one person in. They finally got the 4 of us who walked up to Brown's office. And they wouldn't let us in the Brown's office. There were 4 beefy, one of them's a sergeant, 3 others are officers, ringing the door of his office, not letting anyone pass. There's 2 metal detectors, one here, one up there.
They weren't here when Moscone and Milford shot.
And there's, ironically, a bust of George Moscone, of course, sitting right in the hallway. But the reality is, if you try to walk through into the City Hall, you'll see it feels like you're in El Salvador. It doesn't feel like you're in the United States. It's a very strange feeling. I've been in El Salvador. Okay. All right. We're back here at the speakers outside.
Matrix is a bomb. We're still fighting and arresting people, but we're not targeting the homeless people. Anybody, he says, who breaks the law will be arrested. Mayor Brown, who else is out there sleeping in the park on these cold, wet nights besides homeless people? Who else is out there camping and sitting in doorways besides homeless people? Who else has to hold an open container outside instead of inside besides homeless people? For 2.5 years, we have stood in solidarity with our homeless sisters and brothers and have been very, very vocal in speaking up for the human rights of all people, including the homeless people of the city. And Mayor Brown and City of San Francisco, we have not gone away. The religious community will not go away. We will continue our stand. Thank you.
Bernie says is really speaking for a lot of the people. She has really organized thousands of people in the religious communities, and we are not going to go away. No new mayor can get us to get off our agenda, and we're with you all the way. Thank you.
And now, Tosh. Where is it? Tosh, are you going to speak? All right, here he comes.
Yay, Tosh!
My name's Tom O'Hara, and I'm 61 years of age. I was born and raised here in San Francisco. My father was a San Francisco police officer. The first ticket I ever received in my life was for sleeping on a park bench. Now, I'm retired from the telephone company. I worked for them for 25 years. I get a pension of $250 a month. Now, I'm out here, I'm not anybody's enemy. I just want to know where I can be. There are too many times I am told, you can't be here, you can't be there. Well, where can I be?
Yeah. Well,
if somebody would tell me, I'd gladly comply. I was told I had to go to Oakland or Berkeley or someplace else. The whole Matrix program is still continuing. I still see people's belongings being snatched up and thrown in dumpsters. And it's just wrong. I mean, I know we are visible because you can't walk around with one of those little homeless Winnebagos with all your belongings in there and not be seen. But we have no other choice. I'd like the homeless people to unite and stick together, but there are too few of us do because it happens to be the American way that we don't move until it's our bill that gets gored. But sooner or later, the middle class, this bill is going to get gored, and maybe they will realize that it all started with us.
Hello, my name is Michael Bennett. How y'all doing? I wasn't scheduled to speak or anything, but I just got motivated by hearing everybody, you know, express their opinions about the Matrix and, you know, the homeless situation, the injustice going on. But I encountered some injustice about 3 weeks ago where I had just got through selling my street sheets and got off the bus and went in Carl's Jr. And I was detained by a renegade state policeman, and tomorrow I have to go. I got a ticket. He said that I assaulted him and everything with my hands shackled. But I'm here to support this rally to say that I'm a victim of getting one of these tickets. And I'm here to say that Matrix is still alive. And like the gentleman was saying, where can a guy go? Because I just went into Carl's Jr. just to have some coffee, and I was accosted. So I'm here to support this rally and do anything I can to make things better for people that's down and out right at this time. Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
gentlemen. My name is Joe Skeen. And I don't have any idea as much of what's going on, but I'm kind of situation today. And I think you all should know, I know we are our own lives, and we need all the help we can get from the mayor and whatever facilities that they can provide. And I find out that there's a scam going on where I believe it will be determined today. I am not sure, I think so. But they are cutting the general assistance relief by $83. And they are doing it without your people knowing. And I think it will take effect today. So just so you know, so you can fight for your rights and find out what's going on. Thank you.
My name is Andrea Duke. I think we all appreciate what the sister had to say. I'm just speaking from one sister's point of view. There's not a lot that I can say. But I think that, basically, we all know that Matrix still exists. And McDonald's turned around and said that we're not selling cheeseburgers anymore, and you still were able to go in there and buy a hamburger with cheese. They're still selling cheeseburgers. I don't think that we're being treated the way that we should be. Human beings shouldn't be treated in the manner that they're being treated in. I'm sorry, this is basically my first time speaking, so you're going to have to be good with me. There are a lot of things that we need to address here. There are a lot of places there are a lot of situations within the city that need to be fixed. And I think that everyone coming here today, and showing their support and showing their unity helps. Brings us that much closer to where we want to be. And I'm looking among the faces, and most of you I've spoken to earlier. I just wanted to thank you for coming.
My name is Ian Campbell. I'm a 6-year veteran living in the park. I've been to all the Matrix programs. And just recently, November 8th, police officers descended upon us and took everything of 7 homeless people. Their shopping carts, their personal belongings, were threatened with violence. They were going to be killed if we did not move on. And they took everything along. I watched them. They took my possessions. Illegal search and seizure. Threatened my officer with a club. If I didn't move on, while I watched them take everything that I owned and throw it away. Lady Hewitt, Helen Koch, was witness to it. There were 7 of us. They filed a lawsuit against the city. Illegal search and seizure. The damages that cannot replace my family Bible, which I had in my possession, was given to my grandfather from his grandfather. It passed on since 1836. The only record of my birth happened to be in that Bible. I destroyed everything I owned, and now I can't be afraid to death of 1988. This is wrong. If somebody will get their head out of their ass before we find that some of us are capable of winning the fight. Not only peacefully with demonstrations like this in support of other homeless people, but some of us really got a butt. And thank you very much.
Well, as you all heard, I'm Helen Koch, and I've been out here 8 years, and I'm proud of it. But I've been ripped off, stolen from, thrown away by the police, and it really sucks. I'm sorry to say it like that. But what it is the police harass us, and we did this protest at Lord Jordan's place. I talked to Lord Jordan personally on 8th Street. He promised that it wouldn't happen again. But he did it again. He's doing the same thing. He's even hired more of those bluebellies. And I'm sorry, I can't do a thing about it, but I'm going to try. But I keep going.
Well, today, I'm pretty bad, Charlie Whitney, and I'm not homeless. That's what you're wrong. I'm not homeless. This is my mother earth. This is my home.
Yeah.
I'm not homeless. This is my home, mother earth.
Hi, everybody. My name is Robert Norris-Con. Hi.
Hey.
I've taken off my bathrobe because we went up to the mayor's office and they wouldn't let us through security with my bathrobe on because I had too many buttons on it. So. And the reason I wear a bathrobe, of course, is in solidarity with people who sleep outside. Because I think it draws media attention, but I think you're doing a real good job with signs that you have and with the crowd you have. We never get this kind of a crowd in Santa Cruz, which is where I came from today. But what we do get in Santa Cruz is the same thing you get here. We get lies and bullshit from City Hall, and we get woken up at night by the police for sleeping. She was there. As people from San Francisco have come down to support a sleepout that is happening in Santa Cruz. In Santa Cruz, we've been sitting in front of City Hall for, today is the 8th, for a total of 70 days now. 70 days in front of City Hall. That's right.
Let's do another one here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would support a sleepout here in front.
Last summer, we'll do it again.
We've been sleeping out to try to convince the mayor to at least make the gesture that your mayor has made by, one, I suppose, influencing the dismissal of the 38,000 Matrix tickets, and then stating on February 22nd that he would not enforce the anti-homeless Matrix laws. Now, Al Brown lied about that. He is enforcing the anti-homeless laws. But what he does up here affects you, sure it does. But it's also going to affect us, because our mayor is saying, Brown is a liar. At least I'm not a liar. I'm telling you, I am going to arrest you for sleeping at night. Brown lies to the homeless in San Francisco. Mayor Rotkin of Santa Cruz is telling the truth. And he tells everyone, I'm an asshole. So that's nice. But if you can get Brown to change his policy here, it's going to affect cities across the country. It's going to affect cities across the state. You're acting not just for yourselves, sir, but you're acting for hundreds of other people. And what you do will have a major impact.
Tens of thousands of other people.
Now, I'm going to toot my own horn for a minute. I've been giving out this flyer. It says, Join Robert. You've probably seen it. I'm Robert. And I am going to be going to jail for 2 months, starting a week from tomorrow, unless there's a change at this hearing, which is a sentence modification hearing that I'm going to. And my crime is serving free food with food net bombs. I'm the only person ever convicted, actually ever tried for this crime. And what happened was we appealed it, it went through the courts, went to the California Supreme Court, came back down, and now on Thursday, May 16th, I'm going to a hearing at 3 o'clock at 850 Bryant Street, and the judge will either say, we'll change your sentence or else you're going to jail, fella, for serving free food. Now, Food Not Bombs supports, as I understand it, and I talk to many of them, I'm a member of Food Not Bombs. We support the right to serve free food in public. We were there in Camp Agnes, as it was called by the Examiner, Tenement Square, as it was called by the people who went to it in 1989, was across from City Hall. 24 hours a day, Food Not Bombs was serving food. And I think we have to stick together, all of us, with each other. I mean, right now, this is the Coalition on Homelessness doing an event, and I applaud them for it. I also hope you will show up in a week when Food Not Bombs faces one of its members, me, for the first time in Food Not Bombs history, going into jail for 2 months, count them, 60 days, for serving free food. So I encourage you to look at this flyer, and also there's things you can do on here to get access to a phone. There's a whole bunch of little things you can call this bureaucrat, and you can call Brown, you can call Pelosi, you can call this and everything else. And you can also do things that support what's happening here today. Judy has done a wonderful job organizing this, and there's numerous groups that need your support. Homes Not Jails, Religious Witness, Action for Police Accountability, their numbers are also on this flyer. So I want to thank you for coming. If you haven't got a copy of this flyer, you want one, get one at this table. Thank you very much. Show up in a week, 3 o'clock, 850 Bryant Street. Bring a bagel.
Hello. My name's Tom. I'm with Food Not Bombs. You know, Willie Brown, he wouldn't do what he is right now if it wasn't for people like Martin Luther King. You know that. And I can just see Martin Luther King taking a nap in the park. Cop wakes him up, kicks him. He says, I have a dream! Cop says, who lost, buddy? I have a dream! Cop takes him to jail, you know? You can see irony in the situation. I think there is one
play the little ground could do something that he really wanted to, and I challenge him to do it. We have the Presidio over here, which was used during the earthquake as an emergency place to house people who lost their homes during the earthquake. At that time, there were a lot of homeless people who were trying to get housing too, and they were shunted away. But I say right now, he should declare a state of emergency, because we do have over 6,000 people out in the streets, and it's not an easy situation. Most people who are homeless do not want to be homeless. And declare a state of emergency, stop pulling down the empty buildings there. There's enough empty buildings in the Presidio right now to house all the homeless in this city. Set up detox units right here in the Presidio. Train the people, the trades, so they can fix up the houses right there. Make it self-sustaining, ecologically sound. Make an example for the nation of what can be done with these military bases. You know, ties, comes back to what we always say. Food, not bombs. Or arms, not jails. Or that's not love. No. Okay, all right. Thank you very much.
Okay, at this time, we're going to enter City Hall and present to the mayor our 1,700 signatures against police harassment, and also present a list of demands.
Okay, before we go in, I'd like to read the list of demands to you. Number one is police and other city personnel should treat homeless people with respect and dignity in all interactions with them. Number two, refrain from quality of life enforcement activities except where a citizen complaint has been made of a specific activity by an identified individual and the officer can show a disregard toward the health and safety of the complainant. Okay, number three, police resources should not be used to move people from place to place as a form of harassment. Number four, provide affordable and decent housing, starting with the preservation of the housing in the Presidio for homeless families. Yeah. Number five, provide more free toilets and access to showers throughout the city. Yeah. Number six, refrain from the confiscation of homeless people's belongings from public places until a 72-hour notice has been posted to allow the owner ample time to move the property. Number seven, city resources used to address homelessness should be refocused away from the use of police forces towards the funding of community development efforts and mental health and substance abuse treatment facilities for poor people.
Yeah.
Number eight, civil and human rights protections should be built into all city policies and programs that will affect homeless people and people living in poverty. So those are the list of demands we're going to present to the mayor. Anybody wants to go with us? We're going.
All right.
And there is a metal detector up there, so if you have anything you want to leave behind.
Leave it behind.
Leave it behind. We have somebody to watch everybody's belongings. You know? The mayor's on.
Okay, we're going to put some rock now.
You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrobes Pier's Broadsides. I'm your host, Bathrobes Pier Robert Norris. It's May 10th, and this is a recorded version of my show. The station is still in its relocation stages, and we hope that by Monday you'll be able to call in at 427-3772. Until then, if you have any comments about what you're hearing, any additions, any questions, anything you want put out to the public, give a call to 423-4833-423-HUFF, and we will put that on the air on Monday. You're listening to a tape of the May 8th anti-matrix demonstration in San Francisco in front of Mayor Willie Brown's temporary headquarters at the War Memorial Veterans Building. And we've heard a number of speeches from speakers from the Coalition on Homelessness, a group that puts out San Francisco's street sheet, and a group that monitors and opposes police abuses against the homeless, which continue under Mayor Jordan's administration in spite of his February 22nd pledge to end arrests under the Matrix program to end the harassment of sleepers. What you're about to hear is folks from the demonstration having spoken on the sidewalk outside and not received any real response from the mayor other than a flunky coming down to talk to a few people in a non-public way. That is, he made no announcements. People are going up to talk to the mayor themselves and present a petition and a series of demands, which you just heard itemized. What happened then was we ran into the mayor coming out of the building, trying to leave. Now, in the past, former mayors have slipped out the rear entrance, kind of popped out the rabbit hole, but these temporary quarters apparently had no such rabbit hole, and the mayor's limousine was parked right in front of the building. This is what happened.
And here comes the coalition. Here comes Chance. We got floppy sleeves again.
Floppy sleeves, that's me.
How you doing, brother? How you doing, man?
Not bad, except,
you know, every time I'm with this man,
No, I think we've been together once or twice where we weren't directly arrested. Is that really bad?
It is! It's really!
We're swinging down the street.
Come on, talk to you, Roy! Come on, Roy! Come and talk with us! Come on, Roy! Come and talk with us!
Hey, a lot of cops here, Willie. Is that your policy now?
Everything's back up.
Well, yeah, it's all that one left. Cops, not dialogue? Is that the idea?
No, no, please, no.
Willie puts the police in policy.
So I guess this police will be arresting people tonight. Thank you, Willie Brown.
You see that nice $300 hat he's wearing?
Well, we didn't even get very far, but it was probably good that he took off when he did because we didn't listen to that anyway. Well, that was that for Slick Willie. In a black limousine, his car was ring by about 8 or 9 cops. He had a nice green suit on with a green hat. He looked like he couldn't distinguish it. Very stiffy.
Organizer of this COH event. Is there a breakthrough here, Judy? Have we got Willie on the run?
Yeah, I want to start by saying that, you know, actually, I didn't do a lot of the organizing. A lot of the organizing was
away from the volume.
A lot of the organizing was done by Streetwatch, Mara Rader, and Colleen Lopez, and the folks in the park. So I just kind of was facilitating.
Climbed on their shoulders.
Oh, there you go. That's right.
On the shoulders of giants, probably asleep at that.
Right.
So Willie was running to his limousine. Did you catch any glimpse from his, any hint from his hat or the way, the cut of his clothes as to what the future outcome of this all might be?
We really didn't get much indication from the mayor regarding what his response was going to be.
And what's your personal estimation of what's the next step required to bring this issue to the administration and the people?
I'm not sure exactly how to answer that. Really, what we've done is we tried to meet with the police department, we tried to meet with different members of the mayor's office to try to get the real problem behind Matrix, not just the name of Matrix, and we're really not getting anywhere. So I'm hoping that this will help publicize the fact that really the same enforcement practices continue.
Now, you were mentioning most recently, I spoke to you about this a few days ago, that the funding for the PART program indicates to you that the program, without new instructions for police officers, is sort of an extension of the Matrix program.
Well, no, that's not what I said. What I said is that, hang on a second, you go back? Kids, the park safe for kids, that's a fine thing to want to do, but the way it's going to happen right now, it's going to lead to matrix-like enforcement activity.
So your attempt to do this has been, I presume, to go to the higher-ups and say, will you agree to change the training of the police officers or the instruction?
Well, I mean, we've already been meeting with the police department and trying to get those in. But actually, as far as the training goes, it seems like we might have some commitment that that will actually happen. But unfortunately, as far as the enforcement practices, nothing has changed. And 4 months seems to be plenty of time for them to make some real changes.
Who controls enforcement policy?
Well, the person who, in my opinion, can most affect this is a person that's in the position of the deputy chief. Deputy Chief Dick Holder right now would be in the position if he was but of course he's exactly, but of course he has no interest in ending these practices, so of course they're going to continue.
So why does Dick have more power than the chief?
Well, I think that because Dick Holder is the one who actually sends down the command to the police officers, and so it would really take some, and also the police commission is in the position to change the policies and make a statement. And next Wednesday we have a hearing in front of the police commission in which we are going to be testifying to the misuse of the obstruction laws in a way that both violates the law and the Constitution and making it impossible for people to sit in the streets in addition, or in the sidewalks in addition to being in the park. So it really does make there be no public space for people to go to.
Are you talking about the new policies on H3 or as well?
No, they're not new policies. They're the existing policies that since the number of citations have increased on the matrix, the abuses have also increased. But the hate merchants are trying to get into new policies that would actually be unconstitutional and that would make it illegal to loiter. You can't be illegal to loiter. But what we're asking for is that the letter of the law be followed in this instance, so that you do actually have to record a victim and have a victim, and somebody actually has to be obstructing the sidewalk. And the many things that I've seen in an
And it may sound like things are speeding up at the demonstration, but actually those were just my batteries slowing down. A real pity. That was Judy Appel, who's staff attorney for the Coalition on Homelessness, who is really very knowledgeable on the subject. We've interviewed her before here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, and she has been pursuing the Brown administration with a law book in hand, trying to get them to keep their commitment to stop enforcing these victimless crime laws, so far without much success, but she's trying. As are all the people at this demonstration, and apparently she's going to return to the police commission next week and attempt a similar follow-up with Coalition on Homelessness people. And we will hopefully have you report for that. As I said, I will probably be going to jail starting on Thursday, May 16th, although there may be a stay of that order, and it's possible that order may be changed. I may be able indeed to get the order changed to time served, which would mean I would not serve time in jail, other than the one day I've already spent back in 1993 for this feeding crime. San Francisco newspapers are kind of a mixed bag. The San Francisco Examiner, which rumors have it is soon going to merge with the San Francisco Chronicle, but is at the moment still publishing, has often taken a somewhat more liberal position on the rights of people living outside, the rights of poor people, than the Chronicle. I say this with the understanding that they're both pretty reactionary papers, that the Examiner initiated a program to smear Agnos in 1989 in front of City Hall when there was a tent city set up of more than 300 people, including tents and couches and all kinds of things, to dramatize the fact that the homeless had no place to go. And the Examiner distributed t-shirts that said Camp Agnos and tried to make it look like the homeless were applauding the mayor as a some sort of protector, and the mayor was responsible for this camp and so forth, and none of that was true. And it was an attack on the mayor, a political attack that resulted eventually, along with other things, in his being ousted in favor of Mayor Jordan. And the Chronicles, or the Examiner rather, is doing a similar story on Hallinan, trying to harass Hallinan with all this sex scandal stuff, firings and so forth. And they did a number on the Parks and Willie Brown, when Brown announced he was investigating the possibility of camping in the parks for, not for the homeless, but for anybody in terms of people being able to spend a weekend there to camp. The Examiner immediately started screaming this was a homeless plan and started doing polls and so forth in an attempt to squelch it, and they leaked the statement by a right-wing Rex and Park commissioner in San Francisco about the whole thing. The Examiner is, you have to understand, when I read you this editorial, No Loitering, Start Running, which is a good editorial, and when I point out that the Examiner does cover demonstrations such as the Matrix demonstration, though I think we got the late edition, unfortunately it doesn't appear in this edition down here much, it's against a background of fundamental hostility to the homeless and a fundamental determination to do what the downtown merchants, downtown business associations, big corporations, police department, etc. want to do, which is drive them out of town and out of sight. So, here's an editorial from today's San Francisco Examiner, No Loitering, Start Running, and it reads like this. Frederick the Great didn't want his sniffling guardsmen to wipe their noses on their sleeves. According to legend, he didn't offer medicine for their colds. Instead, he ordered their sleeves lined with rows of buttons up to the elbow. The Prussian solution comes to mind as we contemplate a similar plan intended to cure Market Street of its street people. Nate Berkowitz, a spokesman for the mid-market UN Plaza Merchants Association, railed about the homeless, the hopeless, and the harmless, who sit on the black granite blocks intended instead as benches for footsore shoppers and tourists. Market Street, San Francisco's wannabe version of the Champs-Élysées, had been reamed beginning in the 1960s by the subway systems of BART and Muni Metro. Then the main stem was restored in a $24 million beautification project with kiosks and bricks and trees and golden lights and slabs for sitting. Today's merchants didn't try to offer a solution for America's homeless population. Instead, the Planning Commission was urged to get rid of the 28 benches between 5th and 8th Streets. And commissioners actually seemed willing to consider putting the slabs in storage for 3 years. By then, no doubt, the street people will have gotten good jobs. Symptomatology is an intriguing concept. To deal with drunk driving, get rid of all cars. For pornography, require everyone to wear eye patches. For armed robbery, eliminate money. Actually, these are solutions that Robert Flory might favor. As for street people, what next? Uproot the lawn at Union Square? Ban all shopping carts, sleeping bags? Prussians would know how to handle it. That's an editorial in today's San Francisco Examiner, No Loitering, Start Running, on page 22. It's interesting. Santa Cruz...